I am thankful for the Spirit of the Lord in this place, the breath of God upon us. Lord, we just pray that you breathe new life. Lord, that you just revive us again, Lord. Lord, make us the people that you want us to be. I pray, Father, that you would move by your Spirit and change us. Lord, we just open our hearts to you. We open our hearts to your word, and we pray, Father, that you speak to us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to wrap up this Beatitude series. In this series, we've been looking at what is commonly called the Beatitudes, from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus tells us how to be blessed. He tells us who is blessed. And we can be one of those who's. We can be one of those people that are blessed. It's not quite what the world would call blessed. In fact, it's not quite what most Christians would call blessed, but it's what Jesus called blessed. He tells us who's blessed. And I just got to say, I see a lot of unhappy Christians in our world. But they're trying to be blessed the wrong way. In fact, too often, they're really trying to find blessings the world's way instead of God's way. When the Lord tells us right here, this is who's blessed. These are the people that are beyond happy. They're happy, but not just happy. No, they got something much deeper than a momentary happiness. Blessed. He calls these people blessed. People that live like this. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus declares this truth to us, that blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. When Jesus tells us something that he knows that we're going to have a hard time with, something that maybe is a little hard to swallow, he usually expounds on it and explains it. Just like when he gave the disciples the Lord's Prayer, and he knew that the part they were going to get hung up on was forgiving others. And so as soon as he finishes the prayer, he says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, then your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you don't forgive their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. And so here he knows that we're going to have a hard time, that this isn't going to be easy. And so in verse 11 and 12, he follows it up and he says, blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You know, in the last beatitude, this last beatitude, it serves as a test of all the others. Persecution is just as much a mark of being a disciple as any of those others, being merciful or anything else. This persecution, you know, he talks about this one the longest because it's the hardest. to embrace. It's the one that we struggle the most probably to understand. And it's the only one of these Beatitudes that he follows with a command to rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Anybody ever been persecuted for doing what's right? It's also the only one that he gives an explanation. And it's the only one that the word blessed is repeated. He says it twice. It's the beatitude that he addresses directly to us. Well, the first time he says it, he says, blessed are those who are persecuted. But then when he comes back in verse 11, he says, blessed are you. And he makes it very personal. He's saying it right to us. And he says, rejoice, be exceedingly glad. That's strange, isn't it? I mean, when people mistreat you and they say false things about you, do you get happy? Do you feel like you're blessed? Do you rejoice and get exceedingly glad? Or do you get mad and bent out of shape? Whoa, there went the blessing. Who's blessed? It's those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And he tells us, here's our response, that we rejoice and we're exceedingly glad. The Greek word for persecute means to pursue in a hostile manner, to harass, to trouble, to vex, or oppress. You know, we tend to think if we're just being a good Christian and serving the Lord, then everybody should like us, and you know, things just ought to fall into place for us, and you know, if we'll just be nice, then they'll be nice to us. But the truth is that if you live godly, if you really live for Jesus, if you really live a righteous life, if you're really pleasing God, I can assure you there are going to be some people that don't like it. And the good news is that when it happens, you're blessed. Oh, how we need to learn about this tonight. We need to get this. You know, the very first murder was someone who was killed for righteousness' sake. Cain slew his brother Abel because he was jealous of him. He hated him because Abel did what was right. And the Lord accepted Abel's sacrifice because he brought the first fruit. But he rejected Cain's. And after he rejected Cain's, he says to Cain, he says, if you do what is right, you will be accepted. But Cain didn't want to do what was right, and so he killed his brother Abel instead. The first murder was someone who was persecuted for righteousness. The first Christian martyr after Christ was Stephen, who was stoned as he looked up to heaven and he saw Jesus. Now, this wasn't a fantasy that Stephen had. The Bible says that he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And you know, the Bible tells us that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Well, I don't know exactly what happened there. Maybe Jesus was giving Stephen a standing ovation. But did you know that Stephen was blessed? When Stephen was stoned, they cursed him, they stoned him, they hated him. But he didn't curse them back. He didn't say, God's going to get you. He didn't try to call down fire on them. No, let me just read to you what he did. Acts 7:60, he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This man beheld the face of Jesus as he was persecuted. He has a great reward. He was blessed. He didn't get mad. He didn't revile and curse. And I'm telling you, when we do that, we've lost our joy. That's right. We've lost our joy. We've lost our peace. Somebody said something. Somebody did something to you. You didn't deserve it. You were doing what was right. You lose your joy. You lose your peace. You see, when you get mad, when you allow that, and you get the wrong attitude, you lose your joy, you lose your peace, you lose your blessing. So Jesus tells us that we're blessed when we're persecuted for righteousness' sake. And he says it very plainly in verse 11 and 12 that we are to be exceedingly glad and rejoice. That's a different attitude. That's a blessed attitude. Don't let the enemy have a victory. Don't let Satan steal your joy, your peace, your victory, your faith, your blessing. Most of us, hopefully, won't ever face life-threatening persecution. But anyone who truly serves Jesus and does what is right is going to be persecuted. That's not a pleasant word to hear, is it? It's not what we want to hear, but we need to be encouraged and strengthened by this truth. Jesus spoke that those who are persecuted are blessed, and all who live godly in Christ Jesus are going to be persecuted. That's what the Bible says, 2 Timothy 3:12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. The word all means all. It's kind of this attitude that, well, you know, everybody liked Jesus except for the religious people. That's not true. I'm just telling you, yes, there were sinners that came to Jesus. There were also times when everybody went away except for the 12. And he said, "Are you going to leave too?" And they said, "Where would we go? You have the words of eternal life." Sometimes when you tell the truth, people don't want to hear it. And I'm just telling you that all that live godly in Christ Jesus are going to be persecuted. Some people think they're being persecuted every time they have a conflict with somebody, and a lot of the time it's just nothing more than strife. Remember the beatitude we talked about last week, being peacemakers? Well, when we're persecuted, it's supposed to be because of righteousness. Some people will do something foolish, and then when they don't like the results, they say they're being persecuted. Sometimes people get a persecution complex. Everything that happens to them, every negative thing that happens to them, they think, well, I'm just being persecuted. That's not what he's talking about. Some people think they should try to keep their Christianity a secret and just kind of, you know, keep it quiet, never take a stand, and never stand up for what they believe or hold to their convictions just so they can get along with everybody. But Jesus says we're blessed when we're persecuted for righteousness' sake. You know, we can avoid most persecution by compromise, by blending in, by just trying to please people instead of God. Paul said, "If I seek to please men, then I should not be the servant of Christ." You can't please everybody. You got to focus on pleasing God. And sometimes people aren't going to like it. When Peter and John were arrested for preaching Jesus, they told them not to talk about Jesus anymore. But Peter said, it's better to obey God than men. And I want to tell you, Christians need to be talking about Jesus, need to not be afraid to talk about Jesus. Listen, I'm not talking about being a rebel and trying to stir up trouble. That's the wrong spirit. That's not God. Jesus didn't work that way. But I'm talking about sharing Jesus. I'm talking about sharing the love of God with people. I'm talking about being bold in your faith, not being secretive about it, but instead being strong in the Lord and being willing to be criticized for your faith. We all want everybody to like us. I mean, if you want people to not like you, you got some bigger problems. But even though we want people to like us, we just need to understand that when they persecute us, that Jesus calls us blessed. A Christian should live different than those who are not. Listen, our values, our priorities, our goals, our desires as a child of God should be different. We live a different lifestyle. If we blend in with the world, something is wrong. We need to never be afraid to talk about the Lord. We need to never back down from holding to our convictions. How can we be salt and light in a world if we just blend in? I'm not talking about acting religious. I'm talking about character. I'm talking about our choices. I'm talking about the way we live our life, that we choose to live for Christ. We choose to do the right thing, even when it brings us harm. You know, you can be ostracized because you didn't participate in having an alcoholic drink. You can be shunned and put aside out of the crowd because you wouldn't laugh at an off-color joke. There are people in this world that will call you a hypocrite, label you a bigot. You just talk about what the Bible says. You don't even have to add anything to it. You can just quote the Bible. And people will call you all kinds of names and say things about you. But Jesus says, when it happens, we're blessed. I remember one time I saw a car wreck happen, and it just so happened that a friend of mine was driving one of the cars, and a police officer asked me what happened, and I told him what happened, and my friend was mad. He said that I should have lied, and he didn't want to be friends anymore. I'm just telling you, if you're going to do what's right, there are going to be some people that don't like you, and it's going to happen, especially if you start talking about Jesus. There's going to be some people that don't like it. There'll be times when people will revile you for taking a stand, for not going along with their sin and compromise. You know, some unchurched people have respect for a believer's convictions. That being said, some of them can't stand you because you're a churchgoer. They think you're automatically a hypocrite. But just like in Jesus' day, in our culture today, most of the persecution that we get when we do what's right, live righteously, is going to be from religious people. They take offense. They call you names, at least behind your back. They look for an opportunity to accuse you. Somehow they have to try to bring you down to their level. I remember when I worked at a bank as a teller many, many years ago. The area where I worked, there were several other people that worked in this area, and most of them were Christians, went to church. And during really, really slow times, we would read. And so they brought their magazines and their romance novels, and I brought my Bible, and I'd read my Bible. And I didn't talk about it. I didn't bring it up, really. I just read my Bible. But they began to ask me questions, controversial questions. And in other words, they were baiting me, just like they did Jesus. They were asking me questions. And when I answered, they got mad and they went secretly to my boss, and I was called in and told not to talk about my faith anymore. And I told my boss, I said, they asked me. She said, well, you don't talk about your faith anymore. I still read my Bible. And people still ask me questions. And I still answered them. But this time it was people that really wanted to know and that really listened. But I'm just telling you, even if it cost you a job, it's better to obey God than men. Even if it cost you a grade, it's better to obey God than men. It's better to please the Lord. I remember when my daughter Leslie was a freshman in high school, she sang that song, My Redeemer Lives, and in front of the whole student body, which was only 400 kids. But you know what? She wasn't persecuted for that. In fact, all 400 stood and gave her a standing ovation. But you know, that same school, a couple of years later, a teacher gives her a C on an English paper for writing about Jesus. They were supposed to write about the most influential person in history. They said, you can pick anybody you want. It's just whoever you think is the most influential person in history. Some people wrote about Muhammad. Some people wrote about Hitler. Leslie wrote about Jesus. They gave her a C. There were no errors in the paper, no grammatical errors, no kind of other English errors of any kind. But she gave her a C because she just simply said Jesus was not the most influential person. Carmen and I went and talked to her. She said, well, I'm a Christian, but Jesus was not the most influential person. Muhammad was more influential than Jesus, and Paul was even more influential than Jesus. I'm telling you, religious people, they'll persecute you. But you know what? Leslie's blessed. She's got a reward coming for being willing to do what's right and stand up for Jesus and not be ashamed of her faith, not try to blend in. When we promote the cause of Christ, when we're sharing the Lord, I'm telling you, the devil will always try to stir somebody up to discourage you. You know, last week we talked about how that our real fight is not, our battle is not with people. It's not with flesh and blood, but it's with the powers of darkness. And you need to realize that when you are persecuted, that Satan is behind it, that the powers of darkness are at work to try to attack you, to discourage you, to get you riled up, to get you where you're not acting like a Christian anymore, but instead you're just acting like the world in Jesus' name. You need to realize the enemy is behind it. It might be a person. You see, God uses people. So does Satan. And they don't even realize that they're being used of the devil. In fact, they think that they are doing God a service. John 16, 1 and 2 in the NIV, Jesus said this, all this I have told you so that you will not go astray. Now, he's letting them know about what's about to happen on the night that he's betrayed. And he says, he's warning them so that they won't be discouraged, or they'll be prepared for the persecution that's coming. In verse 2, he says, they will put you out of the synagogues. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. And I'm just telling you, some of the meanest people I have ever met, they called themselves Christian. You need to be ready for this. You know why? So you won't get discouraged. So you'll know how to handle it. How do you handle it? Anybody know yet? You rejoice and you get exceedingly glad because you know that you have a great reward. You got a reward, he said, like the prophets. Well, that's pretty big stuff. A reward like the prophets. He says it's going to get so bad they're going to try to kill you. It's amazing in our generation when tolerance is preached all the time, religious fanatics kill people in the name of God and they think they've done God a service. If you really stand up for Jesus, there's going to be times when you're not liked. Not everybody liked Jesus. You know, when Pilate gave the people a choice between Jesus and Barabbas, they chose Barabbas. Pilate said he couldn't find any fault with Jesus. He didn't want to crucify him. And so he came up with this idea. He said, okay, we're supposed to release one to you, so we'll let one guy go. Do you want Barabbas or Jesus? He thought they would choose Jesus. But the people said, give us Barabbas. Crucify Jesus. I'm just telling you, not everybody liked Jesus and not everybody's going to like you if you're anything like Jesus. Jesus said in John 15, 18 through 20, he said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own, yet because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. Many, many thousands who were martyred because they chose Jesus. And even today in some countries, there are many that are killed because they believe in Jesus. Most of us don't know that kind of persecution, but all that live godly in Christ will suffer persecution, will be mistreated, will be repaid evil for our good, will be lied about, will be oppressed, pursued, harassed. And you know what? It would be depressing if that's all that there was to it, but it's not all that there is to it, because he says the kingdom of heaven is ours. The kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You see, when we are persecuted for righteousness, we have his peace, we have his joy, we have his reign in our life. That's a blessing, to live under the reign of God. What a blessing. But our persecution, oh, how we need to always remember this. It may not seem like it, but it's temporary. 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18 says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. I'm telling you, your persecution, your trouble, your pain is very temporary, but your reward is going to last forever. Jesus mentioned one of the ways that we're persecuted in Matthew 5:11. He said, when they revile you, when they say bad things about you and criticize you verbally and attack you. You know what? I make a whole lot of mistakes. I hope you know that. I hope you know that I know I make a whole lot of mistakes. But ever since I've turned my life over to Jesus, I've tried to live for the Lord and do His will, fulfill His plan and purpose in my life. Do you know that I've been called the devil? I've been called a hypocrite, narrow-minded. I've had people tell me that I'm not a pastor, that I don't have a pastor's heart, that I don't care about the lost, that I don't care about the elderly, and that I don't care about the poor. I'm too harsh, I'm too judgmental. My preaching makes them feel condemned. I quench the spirit. My personality is aloof and unfriendly. I'm a snob. One person said, my family's afraid of me. That's why they never get out of line, because they're afraid of me. Another told me I wasn't worth my salary. By the way, that was when I was a lowly youth pastor on a youth pastor's salary. And another called me a false teacher. Another said that I was a racist. In fact, they said our whole church was racist, by the way. Just so you know, you get some of that as well. Another person questioned my love for Jesus and said that I had no passion for God and I was stoic. Had somebody tell me I was destroying the church and that nobody would be left when I was done. All kinds of accusations, all kinds of lies, all kinds of judgment and criticism. And by the way, I'm sure that at least half of those things are not true. And every single one of them was said by church people. Now, all those things were over 10 years ago, so I'm not talking about you. I'm working up another list. No, I'm telling you the truth, that as a pastor, I feel so blessed because we have peace in this church. And I know that we all still are going to be persecuted. But I thank God that we have brothers and sisters in the Lord here that love one another. And those religious devils have been cast out in the name of Jesus. What are we supposed to do when we're reviled? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, 12 and 13, he says, we labor working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Next time somebody says something ugly to you, says something ugly about you, what are you going to do? Are you going to say something ugly back? Or are you going to bless them? Say something nice? That sounds crazy. This is Jesus' kingdom. This is how he says to be blessed. This is how you become one of those happy Christians instead of one of those mad Christians. Oh, man, if you didn't hear anything else tonight, hear that. Which one do you want to be? You want to be one of the glad ones or one of the mad ones? I want to be one of the glad ones. But it has to do with your attitude. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We've been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now. See, when we're hurt, what do? Sometimes we may just feel like giving up, or maybe we want to fight back and retaliate. But I'm telling you, we got to have a right attitude. And the right attitude is that we rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Would you be excited if your boss came to you and said that you're going to receive a $5 million bonus upon your retirement? Well, I know some of you, you're just thinking, my boss would be lying. But what if you really were? What if you were going to receive a $5 million bonus upon your retirement and you just found out? What would you do? Be exceedingly glad. Thank you. You'd be going, woohoo. And Jesus says, when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, he says, great is your reward. For so persecuted they the prophets. Listen, that $5 million is going to turn to dust.
But the reward that he gives is going to last for eternity. That's why we get excited. That's why we rejoice. Because when we are counted worthy to be persecuted for the name of Jesus, we're blessed. We're so blessed. Wow. We need to look at Jesus as our example. 1 Peter 2:21 through 23 says, "For this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps." Well, I don't believe in that suffering stuff. I just rebuke that in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, I rebuke that suffering. Jesus is our example. Now, he's not talking about suffering illness. He's not talking about suffering all kinds of worldly problems. He's talking about suffering persecution. Here's Jesus' example, verse 22, "Who committed no sin, no deceit was found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he committed himself to him who judges righteously." See, why can't we just trust God? They're not bigger than God. We turn that over to God. We just let God take care of it. Vengeance is his, not ours. Too many angry Christians wanting to retaliate. And I'm telling you, they're not Christ-like at all. He didn't do those things. And if we get mad and we retaliate, or we get discouraged and we give up, then we have allowed the enemy of our soul to have a victory, and we lose our blessing. You can't follow Jesus and follow the crowd. Most of the time, we can avoid being persecuted for our faith if we just don't do anything with it. But when you decide that you're going to really live for God and do something for God, I'm telling you, you're going to stir up some religious devils, and they're not going to like it. The disciples turned the world upside down. The Bible actually says it. James was beheaded, and it doesn't tell us these things. These are from church history. James was beheaded. Philip was scourged and thrown into prison and then crucified. Matthew was slain with a sword. James the Less was stoned to death. Matthias was stoned and then beheaded. Andrew was crucified and then left hanging on the cross for 3 days. Peter was crucified upside down at his own request because he didn't feel worthy to be crucified in the same manner as the Lord. Jude was crucified. Bartholomew was beaten with clubs and then crucified. And Thomas was speared to death. Simon the Zealot was crucified. John was exiled to the island of Patmos, where he died as a prisoner. I'm telling you, they probably could have all lived if they would have just kept their mouth shut, if they would have just been quiet, if they would have just, you know, been cool about it. But instead, they wanted everybody to know about Jesus. How wonderful to know that you've been labeled as one of those, a fanatic. We're all going to go through persecution. But he said that he would be with us. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. I want to read one last passage of Scripture. It's 1 Peter 4:12, and we're going to read through 16, and then I'm going to let you go. There's so much of this in the Scripture, and it's just not popular to teach or preach or talk about. But we need it. Because if we live godly, if we live for Jesus, if we live righteously, we're going to be persecuted, and we need to know how to handle it. Verse 12, he says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." If you're reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, listen now, a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. And I'm telling you, when we rejoice and we're glad, when we bless those who revile us, when we endure, when we're treated wrongly, I'm telling you, it brings glory to God. And he said, the glory of Christ rests upon you. What an amazing thing to be counted worthy, to be persecuted because of Jesus. Not because we've done wrong, not because we've been selfish or got ourselves in a fight with somebody, but because of Jesus. I'm not going to go out and look to be persecuted. We don't do that. But I'm not going to hide Jesus. And I'm not going to be ashamed. And I'm not going to live compromised. I'm going to serve him with my whole heart and do whatever pleases him. And I don't care who it makes mad and who it upsets and who it stirs up, because I know this, that I'm going to be blessed, that he's got a reward for me. And so we set our attitude to be ready, that when we're persecuted, we're just going to get happy about it. We're just going to be glad and rejoice. Well, stand with me. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that even in the most difficult times of life, even when we feel like life is so unfair and we're being mistreated, Lord, even when it seems like people are against us, Lord, I know that we're still blessed. And I pray, Lord, that you would use us in this dark day and time to shine bright for Jesus. And Lord, that you just raise us up as a mighty army to bring glory and honor to you, and that many, many, many lives will be changed. Many, many people be saved. In Jesus' name, I ask you for it. Amen. Lord, bless you.